When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hit those guys.
And welcome in, my friends. It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, alongside Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack, and I don't know, it's a weird day. I'll explain more in just a second, but thanks to the Dan Heck team for presenting Cabali and Mack. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. They are busy getting people in whatever they may need or out of whatever they may need, to be quite honest. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are taking care of you. Dan, Michelle, the entire team, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, everybody. They're all over it, helping you find the home that is perfect for you. HeckTeamHomes.com. I'm Chris Mack. He's Mark Cabali. We are both basically oozing ham from our pores after Easter dinner. I think most people, I don't know. Do most? I asked my family this yesterday. Everybody looked at me like I had three heads, kaboom. Why is ham an Easter thing? Like, I know some people have ham on Christmas. You can have ham anytime, really. You can have a chip ham sandwich on a Tuesday afternoon if you want. But why is Easter and ham, why are they like that? I've never figured it out. What's the reasoning?
Doesn't matter. I mean,
it doesn't matter. I'm just
here's the thing. You're talking about.
I figured you would know about this. Is you're already getting in to the ham sandwich leftovers?
Okay, deviled eggs.
Oh my god, I ate so many deviled eggs yesterday that when the dude wipes and I made our morning trip, it smelled like deviled eggs.
Whew! Do you hit the fan? Like weird signs?
Yes.
Light a fire. Yeah. Light a match. I don't care. Light a fire. Weird
signs. You have to do something. I mean, it's just the polite thing to do.
I don't really care, but that's beside the point.
That's nice. Let everybody else just swim in your stench.
Whatever. Hey, what goes around comes around. There's sometimes. I am not a good airplane bathroom guy. When I went over this, I go into the family bathroom. Hey, why not? Because you go in there and it's the most disgusting thing ever and it stinks so bad. Uh-huh. And I can't even take a pee because it stinks. It's like, you're like, argh. So.
Well, you're talking about the airport bathroom or the airplane bathroom?
Airport bathroom.
Okay, you said everybody airplane gets off first. And boom. I was like, wait a second. They don't have a different bathroom on the airplane. They just have the little closet you got to shove yourself in.
Yeah.
Airport bathroom, you're right. Any public bathroom, I will always. And I'm sorry if you want to cancel me for this. I use the handicap stall. I'll be honest. There's more room. I can relax. No. I don't feel squeezed in there. Always, if it's available, I use the handicap stall in a public bathroom.
Now, here's the.
What were you going to say?
No, the kids just texted me, so I should have shut it off. But here's the handicap, because I got caught once. I think it was in Baltimore, maybe Seattle. It's like a two-seater at the press box. I'm like, man, it's handicap. I go in there, do my business, and get out. And when you know there's a guy in a wheelchair just waiting right there.
Oh.
It was handicap means it's handicap accessible.
Accessible.
Right. Only handicapped people can use it. I mean, I felt like, all of a sudden I got out, and I saw him there, and I just start limping like, oh. That make it sound like.
Yeah, what? You faked it? Come on.
I mean, at that point, the guy's in the wheelchair trying to get into the thing. What do you expect me to do?
God damn it.
Kaboom. But the part that we're back to the ham thing. I mean, ham is very easily accessible. And second of all, how many times do you get like a 10-pound ham and throw it in the oven? I mean, you go to Isley's and Johnny's and do some chip chop ham. This is fresh ham out the oven.
Off the bone. I had a buddy, actually, an old high school friend who we hung out together a lot in the college and post-college years, too. When he would get really tuned up, he would bake a ham at like 4 a.m. He would get a ham and he would get a bag of hot chips. I forget what brand. It didn't really matter. As long as they were hot, like spicy chips, he would crush the chips up, dump them on top of the ham to form like a crust. And he'd throw that thing in the oven at like 3:30 or 4 a.m. after he'd put away a case of Old German, and then would pass out for a few hours, wake up and have fresh ham at like 7:30 a.m.
I mean,
it's not a bad deal when you're in your early 20s.
Yeah, I mean, good ham sandwich is never bad. It's easy. A lot of people throw some Italian shells in there, maybe some lasagna if you were a little Italian in there.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we're big on the Italian stuff for Christmas because my wife's family is half Italian. So, yeah, we'll do that up big on Christmas. I'm but happy Easter to all of you wonderful Yinzers who are joining us here. Steeler fans are ready for the NFL draft. It is just 3 days away. We are going to play a game of what if in just a couple of minutes to talk about how we think things may shake out Thursday night, maybe beyond. Who knows? It was Mania over the weekend, WrestleMania 41. And, I mean, this guy here on the other side of the screen for me is he's got a crystal ball. I swear to God, the number of things that he predicted correctly was outlandish. And we're going to go over.
Yeah, I didn't even get into the one.
I know
the tag team. I looked at the wife and said, Becky Lynch is coming out.
You look at what do you how do you do this stuff? We'll get into it in a second.
Oh, I missed a bunch, too. Come on.
Plus the Raw after Mania tonight on Netflix should be amazing. Justin on YouTube is telling us that Karrion Kross just dropped some kind of killer promo. Maybe
I forgot he was part of Mania, huh?
Yeah, that guy deserves a run. Anyway, we'll get into all that. We want to play the what if game in just a second. And don't forget, if you're one of the first 1500 subscribers on YouTube right now, we're at like 1150, I want to say it is somewhere thereabouts. If you're one of the first 1500 subscribers on YouTube, make sure your subscriptions are publicly viewable so we can see that you're actually subscribed. Once we get to 1500, we will give away an autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State football helmet. Thanks to our friends at First and Goal Sports, First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village here in the Berg. Don't worry if you're not in the Berg. We'll make sure we get it to you. Our first winners, Larry Yellen in Southern California. And I always forget the name of our second winner.
Are they eligible, those two, or no?
Hell
with them.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like, you're subscribed. You're eligible. But we've had winners in California. We've had winners in Florida to this point. We've got winners all over the world because we realize we are global. And I'm fine with that. So if
I want Jason Schwarter to win because he says I'm a legend.
You can't pick people out like that. You can't. I'm sorry. So we'll do it by random drawing once we get to 1,500 subscribers. So go make sure you're subscribed. If you're subscribed, but you have other friends who you're like, you guys got to see this show. Kabali's predicting WrestleMania matches before they happen. And Mac is talking about deviled egg scented poops and all the great stuff that happens here on the show. By all means, tell your friends to subscribe as well. And they'll be in the running for that Pat Freiermuth autographed Penn State football helmet. If you don't like Penn State, I apologize. I don't know who hurt you in a previous life, but by all means, you could then sell it to a Penn State fan. Do whatever you wish with it once you win it. Anyway, we've gone over Easter and the giveaway. Let's thank our good friends at Southwest Greens as well. It's beautiful. It's spring-like out there. I got the pool guy coming later today to open up the swimming pool. It was beautiful all weekend long. And you want your yard to be beautiful as well. Southwest Greens can do it for you. A beautiful artificial surface that looks and feels real but doesn't require all the maintenance and upkeep, all the mowing, all the trimming, all the spraying of the chemicals every couple of months, all the watering in the dead of summer. Forget about it. It's all taken care of because your lawn is there for you whenever you want it to be. SouthwestGreensPA.com for a beautiful artificial surface. Jake is there waiting to hear from you. Tell them that Kabali and Mac sent you. And then forget, like I said, all the time and money and effort spent on maintaining the lawn and just sit back and enjoy the lawn all spring and summer long. So 10:30 tomorrow morning, Kaboom, Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan are going to meet with the media, right?
Yep.
All right.
Draft day media.
Pre-draft media. I'm sure they will be very revealing in their answers. No sarcasm intended there. What do you ask them in this pre-draft press conference that you can actually hope to get a legitimate answer to glean some sort of insight on where they're going Thursday night and beyond?
Well, nothing. They don't talk to anybody individually. I mean, you could talk about the people they brought in for their 30 visits, but that's already, he's been well on the record of saying that, you know, I wouldn't read much into that. It's tough. I don't know if the Aaron Rodgers topic will be permitted to be answered or asked. I don't know. I haven't been.
Okay. If they don't tell you guys no Rodgers questions,
I don't think they'll say that.
Well, they wouldn't say it that way, right? They'd say something like, "Hey, we're only here to answer questions about the draft," or something like that, right?
You have to ask it anyways.
Yes, I think you do. First of all, what do you ask and how do you ask it in this setting to where you're actually going to get some kind of insight? Here's the problem. A lot of people, I don't think, understand that this is this intricate game that has to be played. Because if you just raise your hand and say, "Hey, Mike, is Aaron Rodgers going to be your quarterback or not?" Like, you don't get a quality answer out of that, right? You need to ask the question in a way that actually gets you some sort of insight and opens the door just ever so slightly for them to provide some level of insight.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, first of all, Omar's very guarded with what he says, very short answers, and he does it on purpose. So he does not reveal much of anything. There's going to be a lot of, you know, we'll move up, we'll move down type of stuff. We'll help you on the phones, our boards set, stuff like that. I don't think you're going to be able to glean much into what they say. Tomlin, you have to present him with the ability not to respond with a yes or no, which is almost impossible. But every question can be like yes, no, unless you pull out the famed talk about.
You said this the other day. Talk about, which really, is only looked down upon by sports journalists.
It is, but it
actually works with Mike T.
It has to, because if you give him a slight out, he takes it. So, or you better be ready for the follow up. You know, why do you say that type of stuff? You know.
Okay. So
I mean, it is a game. It's definitely a game. I mean, it's more going to be like what position? I've been to these for 20 years, man, and you're going to hopefully build your entire story off around one nugget. Steelers are interested in a quarterback in the first round, even though he was going to say it not in the first round, in the draft, regardless if they're interested or not. You know, hey, what about Shedeur Sanders? Whatever. I mean, maybe you have to go the Deion route. Mike, how well do you know Deion? I don't know. I mean, you have to work around it. What I'm saying is, don't expect them to come out and say, "Yes, we will wait till August 16th at 11:59 p.m. before we make a decision on Aaron Rodgers." You know, that's just
ironically, I think the way they answer questions is going to be very similarly to something Rodgers said on Thursday, which is, "We are open to everything and attached to nothing."
That's a way to go about life, right?
Yeah. I think that's probably what we'll get from them in this pre-draft press conference. They're not going to tell us, "Oh, yeah, we're definitely looking at defensive tackle in the first round." Or, "Oh, yeah, we definitely need a quarterback, so we might move up, we might move down." Yeah,
maybe something defensive line-wise is Benton a very good candidate. But these things are already been talked about ad nauseum a month ago at the owners' meeting. I mean, all this stuff has been asked.
I mean, I'll be honest at this point, other than the quarterback question, which I think maybe the way to phrase it is, you know, do you feel like you have to know what Aaron's intention is before you go into the draft Thursday night?
And Mike says no. And there's your question. And
there's your answer.
And nobody around you will give you the courtesy to do a follow-up, so somebody will jump in and say, "What about Kenny G? Is he going to play first down and second down?" It's like, could you at least give me a second to follow this up? But no.
I love
you just set yourself up for a one-word answer.
I did. See, this is why you're the 20-year Steelers beat veteran, and I'm just the guy with the microphone in front.
Now, if he says no, then you say, why not? I mean, how can you do that?
So you just got to be quick is the key here.
Well, you better be very – you better anticipate what he's going to say so you know what the next step's going to be.
Okay, so let's –
This is the game we play. I mean, you play this game so you don't get caught, you know, with your – tongue tied like I did a couple months ago.
It happens to the best of them.
You get your tongue tied to it, and all of a sudden they move on. And you look like a dope. So you got to be prepared for.
Well, let's just open up our game of what if then. Okay, we were going to play what if with different draft scenarios.
This one? Why don't we just open it up to the comments and say, what the hell would you ask him?
There you go.
Where you're not going to get a one word answer and a legit answer. And here's my favorite. Why don't you hold him accountable? What the hell do you want me to do? Go sit on him? I mean, seriously, what are we talking about here? Hold him accountable.
Hold him accountable.
Why don't you force him to answer that? Yeah. Mike, twisting your arm.
Answer it. Answer it.
I will pay you. Man, if you go up and shove Mike Tomlin down and sit on his chest until he answers a question.
I'm laying low tomorrow.
Oh, why? Come on. We need a leader to step up.
Oh, yeah. Last time that happened, I become a meme.
We need a hero. We're holding out for a hero till the morning light. John asked if you ever prepare a question to try and get a good Mike T-ism, a Tomlin-ism.
Now, he comes in with new ones. I think he sits in bed like you were doing your
mock drafts.
Yeah, and just write, what can I write next? What Tomlinism can I write next? Because some of them are obviously prepared.
I would set them up. Some of them are very easy to set them up for. Like, you could ask them about, you know, why Roman Wilson didn't get more playing time after he was healthy last year. And he'd give you a classic, well, you know, it's difficult to jump on a moving train at this level.
Yeah, it depends on how fast that train's going.
Fair. All right, let's play some what ifs then. Okay, we're gonna play. We'll play the what if game.
What if you didn't eat so many deviled eggs?
What if I didn't eat so many deviled eggs? Then I probably would have had breakfast this morning. But I don't even need breakfast this morning because I had so
very
many deviled eggs.
Very sulfur-like.
Yeah. No. It's. It smells like the Claret and Coke Works have wafted over the hill into our neighborhood. Lots of sulfur in the air. So if somebody asks Mike. Do you feel like you need to know a response from Aaron before you go into this weekend's draft? And like you said, he's going to say, no. Then you jump right in and say, why is that? There's your quick follow-up, right? There's your what if. Bang, you hit him with a quick follow-up.
I don't think that far ahead.
You just said you got to think about the different scenario.
I'm responding as Mike Tomlin. I just don't think of that way.
Okay.
He'll drop. Honestly. I didn't give it much thought.
To be quite honest. So this is one
honest,
real
I haven't
quick.
Given much thought.
My wife gets on me about this all the time because I obviously consume way too many Mike Tomlin press conferences that I have started to say, to be quite honest, at least 2-3 times a day. And I don't even think about it. It's just in my brain from Tomlin saying it so often. Yeah. But that is a low-key Tomlinism. Count how many times he says it tomorrow or in any press conference. To be quite honest, should be the free space in the middle of the Mike Tomlin bingo card. Yeah, keep an eye out for that.
You know, it's tough when he tries to pull out a new one, you know. You can see what he's trying to get at. I don't know. I would like to know the process of it. Like I said, the squashing grapes. I mean, did he read that in like a book? I mean,
that's where I think a lot of them are inspired by something he reads.
I can't force him to talk about Red Barns, you know.
Uh-uh.
To be quite honest, you know, another thing is the media people tend to. I notice the questions to him have some Tomlinisms in it.
Because I think so many of us have been around it for so long now that, like I said, it seeps into our everyday, like, just conversation, our everyday vocabulary. And so when I say to be quite honest, like, I don't even realize it's kind of a Tomlinism as I'm saying it. Maybe that's what you ask him about tomorrow. Ask him about his Tomlinisms and if he's got any new ones for this year. Forget the draft.
That's tough, man. Hey, Mike, you've seen any new memes lately? Honestly, I mean, everything that's...
Mike, can you give everyone a truthful answer? Was I, in fact, sleeping when I was sitting next to you down in Florida?
You know, I saw some highlights of the Hall of Fame induction for WWE, and I saw a lot of people sleeping there.
It was like 4 in the morning. I don't know why they had to do it so late.
Well, you know, I don't believe they were sleeping. It was just a bad picture of us. You know, if I'm just like this and you take a picture,
it looks like you're sleeping. Yeah, I know. I know.
Well, I said this, everything that was said in his 20, 40 minutes a month ago is not going to change to now. The only thing that's changed is that some different people around him, as in media members, and Omar talked for 15 minutes. What's going to change there? I mean, and you're not going to talk anything specific about the draft. I mean, I'm not complaining that there's media availability, but that's only because it's demanded by the league, but you're not going to get anything. You're not coming. I don't think so.
Well, we'll talk about it on Wednesday and see if anything good came out of it when we reconvene on Wednesday morning, which will be just about 36 hours or so.
Hey, Mike, how was that meeting with Jackson Dart? I heard you weren't there.
Go ahead. Open up that can of worms. See how that works out for you.
Yeah.
How about this? How about that? People actually throwing real questions at us.
There you go.
When you're evaluating prospects beyond tape and interviews during visits, what are some of the intangibles that move the needle for you? I like the move the needle. That's good. That move the needle for you.
I mean, I've asked that question last time about guys, especially with Omar. They always want to have football junkies, football 24/7. Got to love the game. But how do you determine that? Well, you can just tell. Okay, great. There's some people that love football, and there's some people that are good at football, and there's a distinction there. What I'm saying is, if you're good at football, it doesn't mean you have to love it.
Right.
Like, there's guys like, say, Jason Worrells, who's pretty good at football. He just didn't love it.
Didn't love football, yeah.
So they want the love guys. That's usually the difference between a star, a guy that's been around in the league for 5, 10, 20, 15 years, whatever, compared to a guy who's a one and done, one contract, and move on with the rest of your life. You have to love it. I mean, the TJ Watts, the Cam Haywards, the Minkas, I know these are high-level players, but they're high-level players. I mean, how many high-level players are out there that don't make it to that point? Because they don't just love it. That's why you see a lot of veterans who you know that can still play or not playing in the league because they don't love it anymore because they got the stacks.
Right.
So what's the motivation for them? Love of football? I want to go get my head knocked off or what? I'm talking about certain guys.
Yeah.
You have to love football. I mean, there's people that just absolutely love football. It's their life. And that's the guys you want to try to find. How do you find them?
Okay, that's what all the scouting combine interviews are for. I think that's more what the top 30 visits are for.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine this wasn't the plan, Aaron Rodgers. This had to be plan B or plan C. I wonder if they would ever admit to that.
No. I don't think maybe in 5 or 10 years, someday in some sort of, candid moment, maybe, but no, they will never admit in the moment this year that this is a fallback plan.
It has to be. I mean, you don't go into January's meetings and say, what are we going to do in free agency? I got it. Let's sign Mason Rudolph as a 2. Let's pursue Aaron Rodgers and hope he doesn't retire by August. Ready, break.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's why they don't have to admit to it because we all know, right? Like, I don't think there's much question that it was a fallback plan by anybody anywhere. And so they kind of know that everybody can read the writing on the wall. So why do they need to answer that question honestly, right?
Why do they need to answer anything honestly? Wait, I don't.
This is a good one. How about this? David workshopped on YouTube a question for us. How does Aaron Rodgers' decision in that timeline affect your draft plan? He said it might get some BS back, but at least it's not a yes, no.
David's looks like he's on the beach there in his profile picture with Aaron Rodgers in a significant relationship.
Aaron Rodgers walking behind them in the background with his blanket around him.
You have to love Aaron Rodgers wearing wired earbuds because he thinks the other one's like causes brain cancer or something.
Aaron thinks a lot of things. He thinks a lot of things.
Wasn't phones up to the ear supposed to cause brain rot or something back in the day?
I don't know. I'm sure there's been studies done. People do studies on everything.
That's what I saw
something one way or another.
I was in Aldi, right? And some dude was just talking. I'm like, who's he talking to? And I look, he had the old school Bluetooth in.
Oh, that is old school. But a lot of people still use it.
The old guys, some of the older gentlemen like to use that.
Yeah, that is not a young man's thing. A young person.
I used to have one.
The big old Bluetooth.
I have the big one. It was like a little teeny one. It like landed right here. It's like, what am I supposed to do with this?
You look like you work at what do they call it? A telemarketing place when you have one of those things in. That was my first or second job, by the way.
I mean, honestly, have you ever done this? I mean, I'm so bad at this. I'll call up the place to ask a question, and I can't understand what they're saying. So I hang up on them. And I call back, try to get somebody I can understand.
Somebody with less of an accent is what you're saying?
Oh, I got a good one the other day. It was like, yes. One time I called three times in a row. I'm like, I can't understand one word they're saying.
Yeah, I hate when I get annoyed with the person on the customer service line and I hang up on them and then I call back and I get the same exact
person. Yeah, I did that three times. I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to wait.
Yeah. So where were we? Oh, we were going to play What If. That's what we were going to do. What if on the draft? What if
we actually stayed on topic?
Yeah. Good job by us. So what if?
Uh-oh.
What? What happened? Don't say uh-oh and then.
Oh, I got a response from that guest that I talked about earlier.
Oh, okay. Good response? Negative, positive, somewhere in the middle?
So-and-so's traveling right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But he'll get this in front of him whenever he sees this person.
There's a lot going on with that. Okay. we can talk about it after because I can't keep up with all that. What was it going to? Oh, what if? Here's our first what if. 21st pick comes up. Steelers are on the clock. And somehow Shedeur Sanders has slid all the way there. He's available. And somehow Jackson Dart is available too. Both quarterbacks are on the board, not to mention your Milroe and your Shucks and all the other guys. So the only quarterback off the board is Cam Ward. And Dart and Sanders are both there at 21. What if that happens, Kaboom? What do they do? Do they take a quarterback?
I might start questioning my scouting then, right?
Yeah.
Wait a second. I had these guys going top 10 and now they're at me at 20. Am I doing something wrong or are they doing something wrong? I don't think you can afford to drop back. Say that's the case. You're like, okay, I will take either one. They're both the same exact person to me. If I go from 21 to 26, who says somebody from 28 is not going to jump in? Who says somebody from 22 is not going to grab him? So it's a very difficult situation right there. Is Derek Harmon still available at that time?
Let's say yes. Let's say both quarterbacks, Dart and Sanders, Derek Harmon and Walter Nolan are all still there. So really you have your pick of the litter from all the players that we've talked about at one point or another.
I would try to move back, but it would have to be like a pick or two. It can't be four or five. You can't go to 28. It has to be very specific. If I'm going to 22, 23, maybe 24, if those teams are not interested, oh well.
Then you make a pick.
I make my pick.
Okay, then who's your pick out of those four?
I picked Derek Harmon, but I don't know what they would do.
I think they would pick – well, see, this is the thing I've thought about a lot in the last few days, which is – If there's a scenario like that, it doesn't even have to be all four of those guys available. Let's just say
it's not going to happen, but
no, I don't think so either. But let's say two of those guys are available, right? Like let's say Shedeur Sanders and Derek Harmon are both there, right? I think they might consider, well, in that situation, moving back doesn't make a ton of sense. I think they probably just take Harmon and be done with it. But if there's, for instance, Harmon and Nolan, both available at 21, I don't think it hurts them necessarily to move back five spots because they can still get one of them. Unless they're that head over heels in love with Derek Harmon, for example, that they feel like, nope, we're here. We got to take this guy. Okay. But I just think there's so many similarities between guys, whether it's Harmon and Nolan or Dart and Sanders or whatever position you could be talking about. It could be different positions that the Steelers aren't interested in. When you get beyond 20, when you get to the last third of the first round, that 20 through 32 area, like there's so many similarities in potential for guys that I just think it doesn't kill you necessarily to move back four or five picks and pick up a second rounder if you can.
But the only possibility that would look like is if you look at the board is what, the Rams at 26? Who else would even be? I mean, if you're in the 23s to 30s, you went deep in the playoffs, you made the playoffs, and you pretty much have a good quarterback. Except the Rams have an almost 40-year-old, who you know they might want to move on from. So, not move on from, but he's getting nearing the end of his career. So, sure, the Rams will do anything, but do you want to go from 21 to 26 and take that chance?
Well, teams might want to move up for different things too. They might not necessarily just be moving up for quarterback or defensive line.
Like, they would tell you. Would they tell you? Would you say, okay, no, who are you taking?
They're telling you. I'm not telling you either, but they might be moving. I mean, I think you can look at any of those teams from 22 through 32, really. Again, aside from the Rams, because their quarterback is aging. You can look at any of those teams and say, okay, if they're moving up, it's not for a quarterback, right? Like, none of those teams is moving up for a quarterback. So you'd be able to say, hey, if Dart and Sanders, the scenario that we started with, are both there at 21, and the Rams call you and say, hey, listen, we know you guys don't have a second round pick. We'll give you our two, which is, you know, 58 or whatever it might be. And we'll you know, swap first. Sound good? And you go, okay. And they take one of those two quarterbacks.
You would think so, because then you look, then you have the Chargers, Packers, Vikings, Texans, and who's going to take a quarterback there?
None of them, right? So none of those guys are going to take a quarterback. Now, there's a chance that someone else, like you said, might move up. If Cleveland or the Giants don't take a quarterback in this scenario, they wouldn't have. Then they may move up from, you know, 34, 35. So you got to worry about that. I don't know. I think if you see them move back, it's because it has nothing to do with quarterbacks. It's because they like multiple defensive linemen. Again, Harmon, Nolan, could be a number of other guys. And they're willing to move back a few spots, pick up a second rounder. They realize how valuable a second round pick is, and they could still get a quality defensive lineman. If they stay put at 21, it's because they absolutely love a certain player. I just think in this draft where you don't have a second round pick, you have to be open to moving back and kind of rolling the dice on getting what you want.
This is the way I see it. I think Ward goes one. I think Sanders goes three to the Giants. And I think Dart goes 14 to the Colts.
14 now, not nine to the Saints?
I think the Saints might be, you know, why would they need them when they got the 107-year-old Spencer Rattler?
I just think Kellen Moore probably wants to get a quarterback who, I don't know if Kellen Moore necessarily signed up for the Saints job so that he could work with Spencer Rattler. Nothing against Rattler, but.
Throw the Giants out and say the Giants say that Dort goes 11 to the
Niners?
Yeah, I don't think that the Colts would want Shador. But I think the Colts are very much in play. I mean, you, Anthony Richardson, I mean, you better have somebody in tow there. And who did they bring in?
Danny Dimes.
Exactly. What are we doing here? So, I mean, I don't know how we can't be looking at the Colts and saying, yeah, they're in the quarterback market in the first round.
I mean, I wouldn't say, look, if I were the GM in Indy, I would be looking at a quarterback. I don't know, though. Like, if I'm Indy and I'm at 14 and let's say Tyler Warren slides, although it sounds more and more like people might take him a whole lot earlier. Like, I haven't had a tight end since Dallas Clark. Like, okay, I'm probably jumping at that and worrying about my quarterback after I sort out this Richardson Jones mess that I have this year.
Got Eric Ebron. Don't be doing some Ebron hate.
Oh God, Ebron will hear about this and start coming after both of us. Doesn't
like, you know, can you even count on a team like the Dolphins? You got Tua's 17 concussions followed by
What are you hearing about the Dolphins and
Tua? I'm not hearing anything. I'm just using common sense. You got a guy who's a bank. I mean, how many? When was the last time he played a full season?
Tua, it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, you got Zach Wilson as your number two. That's it. You talk about the Steelers having two guys.
Well, no, DP played a full season 2 years ago. He played in 17 games.
I thought 2 years ago, did he?
Yeah, 2023.
He got hurt in the Cincinnati game, or is that 2 years ago?
That you're thinking back 2 years ago now. Hmm. I'm not saying there aren't concussion issues or concerns with Tua. Well, I'm just saying I don't think the Dolphins are spending a first-round pick on a quarterback this year.
That's what you thought about the Atlanta Falcons last year.
That's what everybody thought about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not. That's a great point. Right? But I don't think. I think they looked at Penix a whole lot different than anybody looks at any of the quarterbacks in this draft.
Why wouldn't Seattle be interested? Why wouldn't the Raiders be interested?
Seattle, because they just spent a shit ton of money on Sam Darnold.
Years. Somebody spent a shit ton of money on Kirk Cousins last year.
Just because the Falcons did one thing, I don't think it necessarily translates to everybody else now doing that thing, especially with this quarterback class.
Hey, I'm more than happy to ride with the Mason Rudolph slash Aaron Rodgers combo, get a defensive line and run it back next year and see if you can either acquire a quarterback or draft one higher.
I'm
fine with that.
Yeah, and I come all the way back around to no quarterback in this draft class has been especially impressive and shown their worth. They're worthy of a first-round pick.
Look at Zach Wilson. I mean, how many teams has he been on? He was, what, two overall?
Yeah, that was
or three, that was a bad two or pick. Three? I bad mean, pick. What are we talking about here?
My point is this. Like, I don't see any team – once you get beyond three, like necessarily racing nobody races to the podium anymore with a card, racing to type in a name in the secure NFL portal. That's a quarterback. I just don't, I could see Sanders maybe going three, but even then I think the Browns and the Giants probably look at Sanders and Dart and say, if we could trade back into the late first round to get one of those guys, maybe we'd consider it, but nobody's willing to. I think all the cautionary tales of bad first round quarterback picks over the last 3 or 4 years are going to lead teams to pump the brakes a whole lot more this year, given this class, than in any other point in recent history.
I hear you. I mean,
and the draft as a whole is not great once you get beyond like the first, what, 8, 9 top 10 picks. Like the draft as a whole is not, it's not very deep up top.
There's players out there, but
there are. I'm not saying the draft sucks. I'm saying there isn't a ton of elite level talent in this draft.
Yeah. I think that has, I think part of that has to do with NIL, at least the back half, because guys that are, can still make money stay in the league rather than knowing they're going to be a 6th or 7th round pick, and that just pushes everybody up. You know, 6th or 7th round.
Right. So what's that say about the guys that you're going to get in the 5th, 6th, and 7th round this year?
That's what I'm saying. You're getting Ryan Watts. You're getting Logan Lee, right?
You're getting the equivalent of street free agents.
Yeah.
In any other past year. Like, yeah, the way to make hay in this year's draft in particular, in my opinion, is to hit in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th rounds, Friday night and early Saturday afternoon. If you can really hit on Friday night, I think is going to be the best part of the draft, because you're going to have maybe a couple of those quarterbacks, Sanders and or Dart, maybe slide all the way down into early Friday night. Maybe not Sanders, but Dart, maybe. And then you have some of those other quarterbacks that I think are mediocre, but they kind of push up the board, you know, Milroe, all the typical names that we keep mentioning, Shuck, McCord, you know, guys that really, they would backups. Their career backups. Let's be honest, Ewers, they're going to float up. And when push comes to shove, if you do the right thing on Friday night, and again, the Steelers don't have a second round pick. It's why I think they should really seriously consider moving back in the first round to get that second round pick if they can, then you're going to miss out on a ton of opportunity. Look at all the running backs available in this draft, like the Travion Hendersons and Quinshon Judkins of the world, you know, Scadaboo, who else? There's a ton of the kid from Tennessee, a ton of running backs in this draft that you could jump on in the mid to late second round. And I think you'd have a guy that you'd feel good about having under contract for the next 4 years to work as a compliment to Jaylen Warren and anybody else. I think the same goes with some of the receivers, you know, offensive line. Let's not forget, say Amalu's only got a year left on his deal. Maybe you get an interior offensive lineman on that second day. Maybe it's another defensive tackle and you really build up the trenches. Maybe it's a corner to pair with Porter and learn under Slay. I just think second and third round is where you make all the noise in this draft if you really want to get the best value out of it.
No, that's what everybody thinks. So if you think the Steelers can package a compensatory or one of their multiple third round picks next year to move up from 83 to in the 60s, that's quite expensive.
I think if somebody is willing to move up for, again, it could be an edge rusher, it could be a corner, it could be a receiver. I don't know what all the specific needs are of teams in the mid to low 20s, but if somebody wants to move up and they're in that 24, 25 to 30, 31 range, and they want to move up to get something specifically at 21, by all means, as soon as they call, you say, yeah, give me your second round pick and it's a done deal. And if they really want it bad enough, they'll give you that second round pick. And now you're back in play on Friday night, somewhere in the 60s.
Unless you want to trade TJ Watt, right?
Oh, stop it.
That could be a question asked.
Pickens isn't actually in play this weekend, do you think?
I don't think so. It doesn't make any sense to me. Unless I keep putting that caveat on it. If he comes and says he showed up today. I believe today is the first day of offseason workouts. He doesn't have to be there, but they normally do. And says, Coach T, I want out. I just can't be the second fiddle. Then they'd move him. Other than that, there makes no sense of why you would move him. I mean, you're going to get a third round compensatory probably back for him, and you're paying $4 million for the guy. I mean, what are we doing here? You're paying the guy $4 million to be a legit star number two potential. And the only thing you're losing is from a third to a maybe a second if you trade him. Is that the highest you're going? You would probably be lucky to get a two for a guy on an expiring contract, I guess. More like a three, but I would, let's just say two. So is it worth it? No, to me, it wouldn't be.
It's not worth it this year. And again, you've mentioned this multiple times, and I think it's true. They consider themselves just a quarterback away right now, right?
They might not even think that.
But they consider themselves in the midst of contending, if not close to contending. So they're not trading a guy who can help them right now.
I mean, you win 10 games last year and you're thinking you can get an upgraded quarterback, an upgraded wide receiver position, an upgrade maybe a cornerback position. Why wouldn't they think that they can win 11 games, 12 games? I'm trying to think of how they think. We think they stink and they should tank. They're thinking we won 10 games with, you know, limited offensive weapon power here.
Unlimited.
So if we add this guy, this guy, this guy, make a tweak, Gainwell here, Slay here, everything goes right, why can't we win 11 games? Why can't we win the AFC North title? That's
I think you're right there. I think you're inside their heads right now. I think that's what they're looking at it as.
Is that wrong, though? I don't think so. If you have an opportunity to – I would much rather – give it all I can give to, you know, if it's 10 games and losing the first round playoffs, oh, well, I don't want to be the team that's going to be 30 games out of 500 like the Buccos, you know?
No. So I don't want to overanalyze the calculus, or we'll stay away from algebra because you don't do well with that. Overanalyze the math of the thing. But like
subtraction.
A lot of it depends on, you know, what shows up. Does the defense from the first 6 or 7 weeks show up? Or does the defense from the last 5 or 6 weeks show up? Are we talking about adding Slay to that mix, or the mix that we got early in the year? You add Darius Slay to the defense that we got in the first 6 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's a Steelers defense that can go deep into the playoffs, even with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. And here's the thing: I think they believe they're in a 10 or 11 win team, even with Mason, as currently constructed.
Well, they've won 10 games before. I mean, with Mason. I mean, exactly. In theory, you got better inside linebacker and Wilson and Harrison, maybe. The key is the defensive line. That brings us right back to the draft. I mean,
which is why you go defensive line in the first round.
Plus, you know, there's Philadelphia Eagles prints on this whole team.
That's why
the offensive line's been built out. There's only one place to go now.
Well, you say the offensive line has been built out. I do think there are depth issues on the offensive line.
Like, there's always going to be depth issues in the NFL on the offensive line.
So I think you need – so two things. I wouldn't be surprised if they take multiple D linemen in this draft, like first round and then again in like the fourth round, because it's very deep at that position. And also offensive line is – I said it earlier. I think it's something you have to consider. Say Amalu's got a year left on his deal. I know you have backups there. I'm not arguing that the backups aren't decent. They're okay. But like, if I want to have a guy that I can count on or that provides competition at an interior O-line spot behind Seumalo so that he can take over when Seumalo's gone, if I want to get more depth at the tackle position so that when and if Broderick Jones flames out, if that should happen, I have another guy there ready and willing and can take over. If you're really going to truly go all in on the Andy Weidel Philadelphia Eagles build from the trenches out model, then hell, go all in. Take two D linemen and an offensive lineman in this draft, or a D line and two offensive linemen. I don't care. I'm fine with that. This is the kind of stuff they should have been doing 4 and 5 years ago on the lines.
Yeah, I think that high level depth at offensive line is just a luxury. I mean, look around the league and you're getting $82 million for Dan Moore. I mean, it's just a luxury to be able to have it. You're lucky that you have the five guys that you have right now, I think. Now, if you got a guy like Spencer Anderson, who has at least played some, who could fill in a role, Ryan McCollum filled in nicely for Frazier for a while. Mm-hmm. Calvin Anderson, he was here last year. I think he played in the playoff game. He's had some starts in Denver. I mean, that's about the best I think you can do. You don't want a
– So you wouldn't spend any – there. You no, wouldn't spend any draft capital on O-line this year?
Zero.
Wow.
Zero. Nothing. Defensive line.
See, it's unexpected from a guy who carries sandwiches around in his pockets.
So the bottom line is they already did it, man. I mean, you got a 14th overall pick, the 20th overall pick, a high second round pick. What else?
Maybe I got PTSD from the years where the offensive line was breaking down in front of us and they did nothing about it. But like, I think you've always got to be ready with that next guy to shuffle in there. And I'm not saying those guys you just mentioned, Anderson and McCollum, and who was the backup tackle that you mentioned?
Anderson.
Yeah, Calvin Anderson. Yeah.
The law firm of Anderson, and McCollum.
That's a hell of a law firm, backup offensive lineman, all of them. I'm not saying they're bad, but like, I got to have a guy that's ready to kick down the door and take a job, whether it's at guard or tackle, when Seumalo leaves in a year or Broderick Jones flames out.
Yeah, I mean, but I just think it's a luxury. I just think you can't go that route. If you can find a handful of guys can fill in 2-3-game spurts, that's what you're looking for. If you're looking for somebody to fill in like James Daniels tearing his Achilles, I just don't think you can find that. Or you should.
Okay.
I don't think you should prepare for that. You can't prepare for that. You hope that Spencer Anderson steps up to the plate.
Okay. So let's say you go D-line in the first round. All right. And nobody's interested in trading with you. So you don't get a second round pick. So you're sitting there Friday night just watching guys fly off the board. What's your priority then? Late Friday night when it finally comes around to what is it going to be? It's going to be like, I can't even do the math, like 83, I think, for the third round pick. You finally come around. It's late on Friday night. It's like 10:45. And they come around. They're like, hey, guys, wake up. You got to pick now. 83rd.
What are you saying wake up for?
Because it's late on Friday. What do you do? What's the position? What's the next spot you go? Is it corner?
Best available athlete.
Oh, stop it, Noel. Wide receiver? You got to have a running back. You got to add a running back to the mix, right? Unless the whole Nick Chubb theory.
I don't think you have to. I think you're okay with what you got right now with Warren and Kenny G, and you just add a vet after the draft. I think there's something there. Whoever, Chubb, Edward, Dobbins, Cam Akers. I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there now.
Cam Akers.
Well, there's people out there. Cordero's still on the team.
I got nothing against any of those guys in the backfield right now, but I just don't see how you can go into week one with just Warren, Gainwell, and Patterson in the backfield. Mm-mm, not going to get it done.
That's why I'm saying about Jonathan Ward. Oh, well, I think they will bring somebody in. I truly, if they don't draft one early in the draft, which would be, you know, first or third, I think they definitely go out and find themselves a free agent, rent the player for a year. And if he stinks, cut him in August.
So you have no what's just give me priorities of what positions you'd look for in the third round and beyond.
Well, it depends on what happens in the first. But
I'm saying, let's say we take care of defensive line in the first round. Okay, Derek Harmon's there. You take him at 21. Everybody feels good, right? You got your Cam Hayward 2.0. Then what?
I might look at wide receiver. I might look at running back, depending if there's a guy there. I don't know if Scataboo's there, but I don't even know you'd want him.
You wouldn't want Scataboo?
You'd have to look at corner, right? I don't think you would look at safety just for the fact I think safeties, they've shown over the past couple of years you could find them if it's KZ.
Some good ones in this draft, though.
Yeah, but if it's KZ or, all your Penn State guys.
Penn State guys, there's what's-his-face from Ohio State. I'm doing really bad with names today. Good God.
Me too. I can't even think of the Steelers starting safety last year.
Good job by you.
DeShaun Elliott. Yeah. I mean, you get guys like KZ was decent for a year. Elliott was pretty good last year. You can find those guys, I think, in free agency. So that's why I wouldn't really.
So you have no priorities, really, outside of D-line.
Maybe corner. You got a 34-year-old corner. You got a guy that's always gets hurt corner, and you got another guy would probably be, what is he? He'd be entering his final year of his deal, right?
Lathan Ransom. That's the guy I was thinking of from Ohio State.
It's a great name.
It's a great name. He's not. I don't think he'd be a great cover safety. Like, I don't want him playing center field, but I bring him in and let him compete at strong safety and play a little special teams and just fly around and hit people. This is coming from, I despise Ohio State, but that guy can do that. He can do all that stuff. Malachi Moore from Bama. There's a lot. Makuba from Texas. There are a lot of really good safeties in this draft. So I wouldn't hate taking one if one falls to you in the fourth round. But I don't know. I mean, you make a good point. Like, they've got veteran free agent fallback positions at a number of different spots.
They got some cash.
And, they still have some cash around, which probably isn't all that necessary for some of the names that are still out there, but they can use it. And whatever they don't use, they can give to TJ, which I'm sure people will absolutely love when it finally happens this summer.
It just kills me, man.
But the people are still mad about TJ?
No, the people – I mean, just people in this city just are crazy to me. They want everybody to – they want to have a good team, but they don't want you to pay the players. It's any player that gets decent amount of money, it's like, oh, he's overpaid. He doesn't deserve that. I mean, if you give.
Well, I think most people, here's my argument.
I just bothers me.
In contrast to this, I think most people in this town would agree that we think And I think a lot of people around the league, although PFF would argue this, a lot of people think that TJ Watt is better, even if just by a hair, than Myles Garrett, right? Like, a lot of people would make that argument, myself included. So then why not pay him just a hair more than Myles Garrett? Like, that's the way the market works of individual player contracts.
You can lose playoff games without him. How many playoff games have they won without him?
Well, you can miss the playoffs with Sidney Crosby, right? But you don't trade him. I think you said that to me in a text the other day.
That's true. I mean, I was just making the point that it's...
I know, and it's on both sides. It's a fantastic point.
Yeah, I mean, you
like
can finish...
Like, certain people you don't get rid of.
You can finish fifth worst team in the NHL with or without Crosby, but you don't trade him. TJ Watt hasn't won the playoff game, but I can guarantee you they're not going to win one if they don't have him.
Well, TJ Watt hasn't...
Soon.
TJ Watt not winning a playoff game is not a function of how good or not good TJ Watt has been in the playoffs.
He had a touchdown in one play.
Exactly.
How about that? And they were winning that game.
Yeah, and then they ended up getting absolutely torched in the second half, but the reason they were in it in the first place was not because of their quarterback in that game. It was because of their all-world edge rusher.
Tony's burning. Do you not realize that one guy played interior defensive lineman, the other guy played outside, and they're two different human beings, too.
What are you talking about?
Because one got hurt doesn't mean the other one's going to be hurt.
They're clones. What are you talking about? So thanks as always. Yeah. I mentioned it's chaos at our house today. The pool guy is coming to open the pool.
Who am I invited to the pool?
As soon as it gets open.
I ain't going to no pool.
Why not? Nice hot day.
I throw a kid in there, but not me.
Lay on a raft with a drink, a frosty drink. Standing invitation, Kaboom. Come on over. Once it gets open. But we had to have the AC guys come out again because the AC, we used it over the weekend because it was so hot. It got up in the 80s and immediately the compressor blew. So our guys at Impact HVAC are replacing that today as well. I swear they should have a dedicated parking spot in our driveway.
Are they behind you right now or no?
No, they're not. They're not out there right now. But you need something fixed, taken care of. You go to start up the AC and it, you know, the thing blows because it's old. 412-297-1852. That's Impact HVAC. Or on Facebook, you can find them as well. Impact HVAC. PGH on Facebook. They'll take care of you. They replaced our furnace a couple weeks ago, and they're replacing our AC compressor this week. Isn't it nice to have a house that's about 15 years old and everything's breaking down? So that's the chaos. And the groceries got delivered at the same time, too.
Whoa.
Plus, the kids are home from school because it's the day after Easter. What? What are you calling a TO on? Grocery delivery?
That is so cake eater, man.
It is not. Do you want to go to a Walmart?
I'm not going to Walmart.
Exactly.
I go
can
to
I
Aldi.
Tell you what it, can I tell you what a deal it is?
I am not going through a website and saying, yeah, get me some butter, some bread, but not this bread. I mean, get the hell out of here.
You just don't like technology is your problem.
Oh, I think it's goofy.
It's not goofy. You're just afraid of technology.
You're having people deliver your food for you. Your butter and your Coke and your ground meat.
Yeah. See, there's two issues here for you. One, you're just naturally a distrustful person. And two, you don't like technology. Which is the two reasons you can't handle this.
I can't trust Brian Garrett right now, but that would be funny if that was true.
No one delivered Uber Eats to
Tommy
Family.
I did see a picture of him waiting outside on his phone in his gear. So there's some truth to it. So I don't know if it's – we need to see a receipt there, old pony burner.
Yeah, we're going to have to. I need some proof. Sorry. You're afraid of technology.
That would be great, though. Nate piece. That's probably like $35.
Dude, we had, what did we get on Saturday?
China Eagle, underrated chicken, but go ahead.
Very good chicken. Oh, we got Chipotle delivered on Saturday because we had a gift card that we had never used for, DoorDash?
It's a 5-minute drive down the road.
It's not. It's 15, but that's okay.
5 minutes.
We had a gift card. for DoorDash. So we just had it delivered. So no. This is the crux of the matter here. Technology is your problem. We had a gift card. I don't know how much more clearly I can say that.
Who gives you a DoorDash gift card?
I forget where it came from. Yeah, doesn't matter. It finally got used.
You're opening your pool. You're having groceries delivered to you going DoorDash. What the hell?
You live 5 minutes down the road.
And I'm going to Aldi.
In more of a cake eater neighborhood than mine.
I go to Aldi. I go to pick up my Jersey Mike's or whatever. And what is the other thing? I don't have a pool. I don't think I'm allowed to have a pool.
It wouldn't HOA, fit in your backyard, baby. To be honest, with the hillside there. You'd have to worry about the hillside falling.
I think the HOA says you're not allowed to have one or something.
You're not allowed to have a pool in your neighborhood?
It has to be approved or something. I don't know. No above ground pool. I know that.
Jeez. Well, I then maybe our neighborhood is fancier than yours, even though it's only 5 minutes down
DoorDash.
The road.
DoorDash. Why don't you send me some DoorDash? What, you get like a car ride, your chauffeur drive you to Y-108 every day too?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm the least of a cake eater.
No, you go out of your way to avoid convenience. That's
how
your thing.
Convenience. You spend 40 minutes on the website clicking on what kind of food you want. How about if you walk by, those pickles look good today.
Can I be honest? I'd rather have my wife fill out the grocery order on her Walmart app and not walk through the store and buy every little thing that catches her eye. She is an impulse buyer. On the app, she goes through, she picks out exactly what she needs. Boom, it's done. It shows up. She goes to the store. I have to go with her to keep her from buying everything in the store.
Give me some baking soda.
I literally have to steer the cart away from the Aldi Finds aisle so that she won't buy some random shit for $6 just because it's on sale.
Yeah, I think that's the thrill of going to Aldi. See what's in the old Aldi Finds aisle.
It's the first time anyone has ever said that's the thrill of going to Aldi in recorded human history.
I love Aldi. I don't even have to pay a quarter to get the old card. I use the old key technique.
What?
Get the back of your key and push it in there, and it pops.
You're
it up.
Too cheap to put a quarter.
Sometimes I don't have a quarter in my car.
Wait, you go? You're gonna bust my balls about getting groceries delivered and DoorDash having a pool.
This is the whole point. This is what I hate. This is what I do hate when people say, "Hey, can I have that cart?" You feel like a jerk saying, "Give me the quarter." Then all of a sudden, you're all
you don't ask for the quarter.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you're pushing your car back and they're like, "I'll take that for you, give me my quarter." No, you're like, "I'll take it. It's only a quarter." Then you lose your Aldi quarter. Then the next time you go, you're like, damn it, I don't have a quarter. So what do?
You keep quarters in the cup holder in the car, so you have one when you go to Aldi.
I gave it to the lady when I went there, when I gave her my cart. That's the point.
There's one quarter in circulation in the entire South Hills, and you gave it to the woman.
Well, sometimes I don't. I mean, when do you use coins? I couldn't tell you last time I used cash. So you think I have coins? That's another thing is, how does old people have pockets full of coins when all they do is when they pay, they pull out the coins and pay the exact price? If it's $6.32, I got 32 cents. But they always have a pocket full of coins. How that doesn't match.
I can't get over you.
Doesn't
basically
match.
Stealing the Aldi cart.
I put it back. The whole all point right. of it is so you don't leave it in the middle of the... I can't because my key's in it still. You pull the key off and you push it in and... You're good to go. The problem is if you're bringing it back and somebody says, "I'll take that car," you'd be like, "Oh, you can't because my key's still stuck in it."
Jeez. That is, I'd never heard of that. I didn't know you could basically hotwire an Aldi cart.
Sometimes you have to.
No, you just, then if you've never gone to Aldi without a cart, like, and without the quarter, you just grab a bag and you just throw stuff in the bag. And there you go.
Yeah, nah.
Too much for you, huh? All right. What'd you think of WrestleMania? Best moment of the weekend for you? Uso?
Yeah, definitely Paul Heyman. Come on.
Heyman.
Now it makes all sense now, right? Paul Heyman reposted my story that it was basically spot on of what happened and what was going to happen.
Well, yeah, that was big. So
I mean, that was a little bit of a clue.
Let's go through all the things you predict. You predicted Jey Uso would beat Gunther.
Well, it's easy there.
I didn't like the ending though. Like, I get it. It's Gunther showing, you know,
that's twice they make him look weak. They made him look weak in his last feud with what, Damian Priest.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily like
that. Unless he's going away for a while, he could be.
That's true. You predicted Jacob Fatu over LA Knight.
Yeah.
That was a good call. What else did you predict? You predicted Heyman and Rollins coming together.
Yeah, different times. In my story, I might not have. I might switch back, but that's because they were playing it up so much afterwards. I thought that was wrong. I mean, I thought Ray deserved it and Dom deserved a title shot. But
you predicted that.
I didn't think they were going to give it to him, though.
I didn't think so either. I was shocked. What I was more shocked by, not shocked, but mildly surprised, I guess, the way the crowd reacted, both at the show and then on the post show. That I don't know how is Dominic Mysterio, like, you can't turn him into a baby face, but the crowd loves him.
I think he has to now. I mean, he was trying some of the heel moves at the post game show and they weren't working. So
yeah,
they're whipping on his dad and stuff, and they're just still cheering.
People don't care.
The Io Sky one was a shock.
That was a surprise, although a great match.
I do feel bad because they trotted her out for the post-game show, and she had some kind of weird statement. I mean, she needs a Heyman-like figure.
Yeah.
I think.
No, I agree. What did you think of Joe Hendry, other than the fact that you spoiled it for everybody?
It made sense because Orton had to win. Orton had to win quickly.
Right.
It had to be like a squash. You're not going to bring out Rusev.
Here's the thing. It wasn't a squash, though. It wasn't.
That's the first thing I said. I said, I hope this isn't a squash. So that's good.
Like, Hendry got a few moves in, you know? He hit the move in the middle of the ring where he looks back at the camera, all that. Orton had fun with it. And now Orton gets to go after Cena because that's only 3 weeks away. Yeah. And it's in St. Louis.
I just don't know who else. Who else were you going to put up there? You weren't going to put up somebody, Aleister Black. You can't do that. I mean, then you don't want him to lose, but you need Orton to win. I mean, I was thinking maybe somebody like Tama Tonga, maybe somebody like Solo, but it didn't really make a lot of sense. Joe Hendry, they wanted to see him. And I think it was fun. I think not only was it a good pick, I think how it played out was worth it too. I mean, you know, what I noticed the most, man. My Lord, is Randy Orton just towered over him.
Yeah, Randy's. Wow.
I mean, it was like, look at the size of the difference in the size of these two guys.
Yeah, Randy Orton is a massive human being.
Good for Joe Hendry.
I like the fact that there. Look, I saw people complaining about it online. Oh, I can't believe they had Orton squash Hendry. That's not what happened. It was a quick match, but, you know, it took a couple of RKOs to put him down. And, you know, I think it went well. The Becky Lynch, that was a surprise to me. I thought that you called that, though, too, I guess, in the moment. That was great stuff. I'll be curious to see.
I wouldn't have put the title on. I just wouldn't have. Now you're pairing Lyra Valkyrie. I can never pronounce her
Lyra name. Valkyria. It's not
with Becky now. I mean, I would rather much Becky go out on her own, and I don't think a Lyra Valkyria should have two belts. I mean,
well, I think it's the boost she needs, though. Like, she's a great, great technical wrestler, great worker. I think she just needs something to get people to pop for her, and that's Becky will do
I
that.
I think you needed them to screw them to make up a Liv Becky feud. I guess it's one built in already, really, but
right.
I'd like rather see those two have some sort of program going on, but Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I like the Becky Lynch thing can still happen.
Logan Paul. I mean, it was a couple of nice moves, good finisher.
Yeah, his post thing, post game, post match, whatever you want to call it, was annoying. He does all he can to stay in character. Which, hey, I appreciate it. Same goes for the Cena post match thing, but let's talk about the match itself. I think bringing Travis Scott out and having him be a part of it as much as he was is all a part of the plan, in so much as it gets like the hardcore wrestling fans, it gets them pissed off. It gets them to hate Cena even more, right? And the whole angle here now is getting people to hate Cena so that Cena will take his ball and go home, right? He said he's going to ruin wrestling tonight on Raw.
Are we sacrificing WrestleMania integrity for this now? You got very new eyes on WrestleMania, right?
Mark, and the first WrestleMania had Cyndi Lauper involved. Like, come on.
We're
like,
expecting
it's WrestleMania. It's about drawing in the average everyday person. Look, Travis Scott didn't do anything for me. And who knows how many people would actually did anything for, but like, I'm not going to get all up in arms about it. I kind of walked away from it and said, that was kind of underwhelming. Sure. But I think that rolls into it. It's like that thought you just expressed, man, are we going to sacrifice the integrity of WrestleMania? Other people are legitimately having that thought and going, man, this sucks. I hate Cena. I can't believe they did this.
I don't think it's Cena. It's like, what is Triple H doing? What's the writers doing? My thought is, how many wrestlers or boys in the back saying, wait a second here, Travis effing Scott gets an entrance down the biggest stage of our Super Bowl, so to speak. He walks that big aisle with his own music, with his own belt or whatever the hell he had. And I'm just like busting my ass here and just watching this happen. I think they could have avoided it all if the old final boss would have just poked his head out. At least you could have distracted it a little bit. You would think that this is a part of a bigger plan, but nobody wants to look back 10 years from now. You know how it's like, yeah, I went to WrestleMania 15. Yeah, that's when Butterbean beat the hell out of so-and-so. It's going to be like, you remember WrestleMania 41? Yeah, the Travis Scott one. It's like, what? I don't know. I just – he could be involved. I just don't like how much that was involved. And no Rock. What are we talking about here?
Well, Rock's in Hawaii. I don't know. Is he doing a movie or whatever he's doing?
Yeah, what he is. He's the Rock. He's worth $1 billion. I'll be back in a day. Hold this up for a second.
I don't know, but
I'm sure he has to show up tonight. He has to.
Does he have to?
He has to.
He has to.
I think he has to show up tonight.
This was mentioned at the start of the show, and then I'll bring this up because I think it's a good wrap on the WWE and Travis Scott topic.
Plus, Paul Heyman and John Cena is going to be on Pat's show here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, that should be good. I want to see what they both have to say. Justin mentioned it. Karrion Kross cut some kind of promo on social media this morning, I guess, where he's again. I don't know if it's shoot or if it's a work. But he talks about being pissed off at the Logan Pauls and Travis Scotts of the world. He doesn't use them by name, I don't think. But he talks about being annoyed that it's all about viral moments now. The crowd told you how they felt about me on SmackDown when I was eliminated and you ignored it. You want to find real moments of all the true fans, professional wrestling guys, then he goes off. So he's at the very least
work, but
I assume it's a work too, but at the very least, I think it's an opportunity to build, even if it's shoot, it's opportunity to build into a work. Cause I think Cross deserves more screen time. Is that a hanky or is that a tissue?
It's just a tissue.
What I thought you espoused the virtues of the hanky the other day.
It's actually my hanky. It's actually my napkin that I was eating my ham sandwich with.
Wow. So you didn't even get a Kleenex.
You make me go on. You're so quick, for God's sakes.
So quick. You got to dictate what time.
I told you. As soon as I walk in, it's like on the computer.
It's up to you when you log in. You said 10:45.
You know what? By the way.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman's unbelievable.
He is
by the way, did you happen to see the Roman Reigns nut shot?
He twisted it. Yeah. This is great stuff. So Paul Heyman's retweeting your stories.
I think that tells me this was in works for at least a month. He knew what he was going to do, right?
And let's not ignore the fact, I know he follows a million people on Twitter already, but who started following the Cabali and Mac show on Twitter on Friday?
John Cena.
John Cena.
John Cena. Oh, my kid is going nuts.
What?
His two favorite wrestlers. He was John Cena for Halloween.
Yeah.
And he's been Cody Rhodes fan for a year and a half now. John Cena turns heel and Cody Rhodes loses to the guy he used to. He won't even watch it now. He won't even look at it. He's so upset.
Wow.
His two heroes are now.
Well, now he can become a Travis Scott fan.
He won't watch it. WWE ruined his life with John Cena and Cody Rhodes and within an 8-week span.
He'll never forget Easter 2025.
Whenever he refused to watch it. Because I know he's going to lose.
Oh, wow. He didn't even watch it at all?
He went and hid. He went and did something else.
Man.
Because he knew.
Don't forget, if you're one of the first 1,500 subscribers, and we've got about 300-350 to go on YouTube, then you will be eligible when we do the drawing once we get to 1,500 subscribers on YouTube. Just search Cabali and Mac to win that autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State football helmet. Make sure you're following us on social media, up on Facebook, on X, on Instagram, even on TikTok, where Cabali does dances all the time now. Have you logged in and done that yet?
I don't have a TikTok account.
I don't want
China stealing my info.
Right. Because they're coming for your info first.
Yeah. I could be a real jerk and just like change my VPN and steal Netflix from another country. But
who would do something like that?
I would never do that.
Again, you're afraid of technology.
That's you know how I got WrestleMania? My brother-in-law says, hey, I got Peacock. Here's the password.
Well, there you go. See, you asked somebody for something.
I got Disney and something else, and I pay.
Yeah, just like you pay for your Aldi cart. We'll do it again on Wednesday after Mark goes down to Southside tomorrow and talks to Omar and Mike T amongst the assembled media. And that'll be just a little more than 24 hours from the first round of the NFL draft. Thanks again to the Dan Heck team for presenting Cabali and Mac. We appreciate everything they do for us. HeckTeamHomes.com. And we'll talk to you again in just a couple of days here on Cabali and Mac.